From MainePublic.org, I'm Barbara Caritti, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, November 7th, 2016. And on this day, Governor Paul LePage is accused of violating the Federal Voting Rights Act after he threatens to investigate whether college students who weighed in at the polls followed Maine's voter and residency laws. The organization that resettles refugees in Maine explores its options after the governor's announcement last week that the state will no longer participate in the federal program. And LePage joins a new effort to boost demand for natural gas to help raise funds for infrastructure. Those stories and more after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs. And Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org.
I'm Barbara Caritti. Maine's top law enforcement and election officials say Governor Paul LePage attempted to discourage college students from voting when he threatened to investigate whether they followed all voter and residency laws after the election. Meanwhile, the ACLU of Maine says it's filing a complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice alleging that the governor violated the Federal Voting Rights Act. Steve Missler has our story.
The governor's threat to ensure college students register their vehicles and obtain Maine driver's licenses seemed to validate anonymously drafted flyers that were distributed at Bates College over the weekend. The flyers, dubbed a legal advisory, purported to outline requirements to establish residency and vote in Maine, but they were quickly deemed misleading by Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, a Democrat. He said the messages conflated two separate issues, requirements to vote and establishing residency. Dunlap said the flyers were ultimately an attempt to intimidate college students from voting in Tuesday's election.
And anybody who does think it's cute to win an election, really, I think it's a treasonable offense. That's how I feel about it. I feel very strongly about it.
While the state does require anyone planning to live in Maine for more than a month to get a driver's license and register their car here, neither requirement is tied to the eligibility to vote. According to Dunlap and Attorney General Janet Mills, voting laws do not treat out-of-state college students any differently than any other citizen. If they can prove they're living here, they can vote here.
The law doesn't care why you're here in Maine.
Attorney General Mills says all anyone needs to register to vote is to provide something that shows they live here. It could be a driver's license or a utility bill. And if a student or anyone doesn't have either of those, they can sign an affidavit at the polls swearing to their residence.
The residency requirements for voting are extremely loose because it is a constitutional entitlement.
The partisan dispute over out-of-state college students voting in Maine has a history. In 2012, Maine Republican Party Chairman Charlie Webster accused more than 200 students of voting in Maine and in their home states. An investigation later proved that never happened. At the time, Democrats said the effort was designed to intimidate college students. That same outcry erupted over the weekend and on Monday, when the governor issued a warning to students against committing voter fraud. Bates President Clayton Spencer said LePage's remark echoed the intent of the anonymous flyers.
I was disappointed to see that he seemed to be arraying himself on the side of whoever is trying in the state to suppress student voting.
Some students at Bates said the flyers had the intended effect. Pernith Kong, a senior from New Jersey, said some students are now worried they're breaking the law.
I think it might have scared some people off in thinking that what they're doing is illegal and that they might have like repercussions for voting, and it definitely made people nervous.
The governor's statements prompted the ACLU of Maine to ask the Department of Justice to investigate LePage for voter intimidation. Zach Hayden is an attorney at the ACLU.
The Federal Voting Rights Act prohibits threats, intimidation, and coercion designed to make it less likely that people are going to vote. Today's action by Governor LePage, we believe, violates the Voting Rights Act.
The governor didn't back down from his statement. He pointed to laws posted on the Secretary of State's website showing that people who claim residency here must also register their vehicles and obtain a Maine driver's license. Neither Dunlap nor Mills dispute the residency requirements, but they say the governor is deliberately mixing two issues. Mills said state election officials do not check to see if voters register their cars, or vice versa.
It's a political statement he's made, purely political statement by a politician intending to skewer an election, intending to discourage people from exercising their constitutional right to vote.
Emily Manter, a student at Bates, said the rules governing voting rights and residency were creating confusion for students.
All of that language is really convoluted throughout that whole page if you read it, and kind of different sides can pick and choose. And I think that the law needs to be clarified.
Dunlap held a news conference Monday to say the governor's statement and the Bates flyers were not isolated incidents. He said students at the University of Maine had received emails with similar information, including a threat that students could lose their financial aid. He described the effort to suppress the student vote as shameful. The controversy erupted on the eve of an election in which the stakes are especially high in the 2nd Congressional District. That's where both Bates and the University of Maine are located. The district could play an outsized role in the presidential election, especially for Republican hopeful Donald Trump. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Meanwhile, the organization that resettles refugees in Maine, Catholic Charities, is exploring its options following Governor LePage's announcement last week that Maine will no longer participate in the federal refugee resettlement program. As Patty White reports, if the plan goes through, Maine will join 12 other states that have also withdrawn from the program.
In a letter sent to President Obama on Friday, Governor LePage said Maine is withdrawing from the refugee resettlement program because he's lost confidence in the federal government's ability to safely and responsibly run it. He cited the example of a refugee who lived in Freeport but fled to Syria and died fighting for the Islamic State last year. Still, Judy Katzel of Catholic Charities, an organization that's resettled refugees in Maine for 40 years, says she's surprised at the governor's decision.
Well, we've always had a really good working relationship on the refugee resettlement program with the state, so we were very disappointed that we weren't contacted directly.
Katzel says she has complete confidence in the vetting process for refugees, which she says typically starts when an individual enters a refugee camp, where they often live for 18 months or more.
I mean, just from a practical standpoint, if someone wanted to be a terrorist or someone wants to come here with terrorist intentions, there are probably much quicker ways to get into our country or any other country than through the refugee program.
In most other states that have opted out of the refugee resettlement program, a nonprofit voluntary agency becomes the administrator of the program to distribute federal funds. Katzel says it's unclear at this point who would become the administrator in Maine. For Governor LePage's part, he vowed to radio talk show host Howie Carr on Friday that no one in his administration will help with the federal resettlement program.
If we find any undocumented people in the state of Maine, of which I cannot put in jail, I am going to buy them a bus ticket, I'm going to buy them a lobster roll, and I'm going to send them to...
A lobster roll? Boy, you're a sport.
It's a long ride to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Last year, Governor LePage was one of more than 30 governors who unsuccessfully asked the federal government to stop resettling Syrian refugees until proper vetting procedures were established. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Coming up, Maine's governor joins an effort to boost demand for natural gas to help pay for infrastructure. Recent decisions in other New England states have sunk hopes for a near-term solution to a wintertime bottleneck in the region's natural gas supply that can cause huge spikes in electricity prices in Maine. As Fred Bever reports, Governor Paul LePage is joining an emerging effort to harness demand for residential and commercial heating to help pay for infrastructure that could help ensure a steadier gas supply for electricity plants, too.
Late last month, Connecticut regulators delivered the latest blow to a regional effort to improve natural gas supply lines by canceling a bid request for new gas capacity infrastructure. That followed similar moves in other New England states, triggered in turn by a ruling from the Supreme Court in Massachusetts saying it's illegal to stick electricity consumers with the bill for new gas infrastructure. The idea may not be completely dead in the region. Maine regulators, for instance, have ruled that local consumers could be charged for such costs as long as the rest of New England's electricity users are paying a share, too. But the effort is clearly stalled, and states are looking for new ways forward. Governor Paula Page, who's made improved natural gas supply a centerpiece of his energy policy, was asked about it in a brief interview last week.
My idea is to come in from Canada. And we've got a proposal. We're going to be looking to come in, bring natural gas in from Canada, from Pennsylvania, up into Canada and down through Quebec.
The idea is to boost demand for natural gas in Maine by encouraging the conversion of oil-burning heat and power systems, residential or commercial, into more efficient and cleaner gas-fueled systems. With more firm contracts for gas supply in hand, the owners of the pipelines LePage mentions, TransCanada and the Portland Natural Gas Transmission System, would have the incentive to upgrade supply infrastructure and build the cost into gas bills, with a side benefit of creating new capacity that would also ease wintertime constrictions on gas for electricity plants.
For the entire gas pricing, it would have benefits for all gas users, including end users for the electrical system.
Maine Energy Chief Patrick Woodcock says LePage is looking at a circuitous route from Pennsylvania's Marcellus Shale, where the lowest natural gas prices in the world can be found, up through Canada, then back down here. It would bypass much of the Northeast's liberal topography.
The last few years have shown that, to be frank, you know, the environmental community has been very successful in blocking projects in New York, in Massachusetts.
The proponents of one big project, known as Kinder Morgan, have altogether abandoned their plan. But backers of another are vowing to forge ahead. One idea for keeping the $3 billion Access Northeast project, as it's called, viable, is similar to LePage's. By securing gas supply contracts for residential and commercial heat and power users, known as LDC buyers, the hope is that some electricity generators, known as EDC buyers, in states where there's political or regulatory support, like Maine, can be brought on board too. Leon Olivier is vice president at Eversource Energy, who spoke with investors in a conference call last week.
So you've got three states that clearly want an EDC solution. And so it's kind of marrying up that with a large enough LDC solution to make for a project that will have a meaningful difference in the region in terms of reliability and price stability.
LePage's Canada connection would be a much smaller foray, one that a spokeswoman for TransCanada says would not require massive investments. And Woodcock says the LePage idea would be only a very small part of solving the winter supply issue. But it could be one part of the puzzle to help tide the region over when the next ultra-cold winter comes around and boosts demand for natural gas. Still, there's concern a monster gas and electricity price spike along the lines of one that occurred 2 years ago could happen again in coming years. That could spur intervention by the organization that operates the regional electricity grid, ISO New England. Richard Silkman is an energy consultant at Portland's Competitive Energy Services.
If it plays out in a way that creates reliability problems on the grid, then they will act immediately to change that. And one change might be to revisit this whole issue of gas pipeline capacity.
That could open a new battlefield for environmentalists whose work to wean the region from natural gas has been instrumental in stalling the big pipeline projects. Greg Cunningham directs the Conservation Law Foundation's Clean Energy and Climate Change Program. He says even if consumers have to pay a short-term premium for moving to wind, solar, and other renewable sources, that pales in comparison to the stakes.
These technologies are not just on the way, they're here. And they're not just going to become less expensive, they are already becoming less expensive. So this is not our future, this is our present. And Maine and the rest of New England need to take hold of it.
Meantime, Governor LePage and others are working to create new demand for natural gas in the state, demand they say is needed to encourage new infrastructure that could ultimately keep the brakes on electricity prices in Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Meanwhile, Maine's shrimp industry is preparing for another year in which the fishery is shut down because of concerns about the impact of a warming ocean. Maine shrimp are fished in the Gulf of Maine and were a popular winter seafood for years. regulators shut the fishery down after a collapse during the 2013 fishing season, and it's remained closed since. A regulatory board is set to decide Thursday whether fishing will be allowed this year. A committee of scientists has advised the board that it's not a good idea. The shrimp have struggled to rebuild as waters have warmed. Spencer Fuller of Cozy Harbor Seafood says his company was once the largest processor of Maine shrimp in the country and has suffered since the closure. And an airline that flies to Florida from airports in Bangor and Portsmouth, New Hampshire, says it's true that it suffered substantially more unscheduled landings than other carriers in 2015, but those numbers are down more than 60% in 2016. According to an investigation by the Tampa Bay Times, Las Vegas-based Allegiant Airlines jets were forced to make 77 such landings in 2015. That's more than twice as many as American, which had the next highest number, and 10 times as likely as Southwest, which had the fewest. Allegiant CEO Morris Gallagher Jr. told the paper that the airline doesn't dispute the thrust of the numbers and that it's doing all it can, including slowing its growth as a company, to improve safety. And finally, here's meteorologist Paul Cousins with your Election Day forecast.
November is historically the month most devoid of sunshine, yet today and tomorrow defy tradition. Tonight, skies will remain starlit statewide and temperatures will fall to the mid-20s to lower 30s, coolest in the western valleys. Tomorrow again, simply stunning, unlimited sun, 50s for most, low 60s over southwestern interior portions of Maine. Wednesday will be a gray day for all, with widespread showers. Over the mountains, there will be accumulating snow showers, especially at night. Become breezy late in the day, low 40s north to low 50s along the immediate coast. Thursday will be chilly and breezy as well, as a storm spools up in the Gulf of Maine. Partly sunny north, partly cloudy western and central Maine. Along the coast, maybe a morning sprinkle, then developing sunshine. Upper 30s north of mountains, upper 40s along the entire coast. Our next front will arrive Friday. Snow showers and rain showers over northern Maine as well as the mountains. Considerable cloudiness for the rest of the state. A little bit brighter Portland south. 40 to 50 north to south. And again, rather breezy. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's the news on this day in Maine, Monday, November 7th, 2016. Robert Holt composed our theme music. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall, Susan Sharon, and Andrew Catalina, and to Steve Missler, Patty White, Fred Bever, Nora Flaherty, and Ed Morin for their contributions. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can rate and comment in iTunes, or you can email us at tdim@mainepublic.org. I'm Barbara Caridi. For all of us here at Maine Public, thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, please get to the polls tomorrow and vote.